in the book of Habakkuk. Look with me, please, to verse number 6. Shall not all these take up a parable against him and atoning proverb against him and say, woe, this is the first woe, to him that increaseth that which is not his, how long? And to him that ladeth himself with thick clay. Shall they not rise up suddenly that bite thee, and awake that shall vex thee, and thou shalt be for booties unto them? Because thou hast spoiled many nations. Now, he's talking about Babylon. He's talking about the Chaldeans. And he says here, have they not spoiled many nations? And they have. All the remnant of the people shall spoil thee because of men's blood and for the violence of the land, of the city, and of all that dwell therein. Now, verse 9. This is the second woe. Woe to him that coveteth an evil covetousness to his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil. Thou hast consulted shame to thy house by cutting off many people, and hast sinned against thy soul. For the stone shall cry out of the wall, and the beam out of the timber shall answer it. The third woe, I'm going to read them all here. The third woe is, woe to him that buildeth a town with blood, and establisheth a city by iniquity. Behold, is it not of the Lord of hosts that the people shall labor in the very fire, and the people shall weary themselves for vanity, for very vanity? For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. We know that's yet future. And now the fourth woe. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that puttest thy bottle to him and makest him drunken, also that thou mayest look on their nakedness. Thou art filled with shame for glory. Drink thou also, and let thy foreskin be uncovered. The cup of the Lord's right hand shall be turned unto thee, and shameful spewing shall be on thy glory. For the violence of Lebanon shall cover thee, and the spoil of the beast, which made them afraid, because of men's blood, and for the violence of the land, of the city, and of all that dwell therein. This is a repeat several times through here about men's blood, where they're taking lives of men. And you also see how that they do it with money, and take what they do, and with the alcoholic beverage. Verse 18, what profiteth a graven image, that the maker thereof hath graven it, the molten image, and a teacher of lies, that the maker of his work trusteth therein to make dumb idols? Woe number 5, verse 19. Woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake, to the dumb stone, arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in the midst of it, but the Lord is in his holy temple, that all the earth keep silence before him. Now these 5 woes, and I read them all, and so we want to look at it. And this is what's happened to the Babylonians. The Babylonians have done this. And this is the woes to the Babylonians. And this is a type of what's going to happen during the tribulation after the church is taken out and tribulation sets upon the earth. And, of course, we find basically this happened in a roundabout way to the Babylonians when they were had the Israelites in captivity. Now, hold your place there. And let me say this before you turn. You'll notice that this keeps getting worse and worse down through until the last woe deals with idolatry. Now, what happens when people begin to forget God and they walk away from God? It's a progressive thing. I don't care where it's you, me, a church, a city, a nation, or a world. It's progressive. If we drop the ball on one little thought of the Word of God, then what happens? We get more liberties in our heart to think, and we step out, and because God don't pass judgment on us right then, we have a tendency to move into something deeper. Because man's not satisfied with nothing, basically nothing can satisfy him but God. Now that's what the world can understand. And they don't want to be satisfied with God. God is the last person or the last thing that most people in the world want, including God's people. Amen. We look to everything under the sun as God's people, but God. He's the last person or the last thing that we consort and come to find help. People only cry out to God when they have tried everything else. Amen. They go to every doctor under the sun. When the doctor can't help, they go to God. We go to the lawyer. When the lawyer can't help us, we finally call on God. You understand what I'm saying? We just do that. That's what we do. But that's not right. And so we find that each time it goes and goes and goes, we're getting further and further away from God until at the end, what were they doing? They were crying out to the stone, into the wood. Things that they were making themselves gods. And they were crying out to them. So they'd fallen into idolatry. And that's exactly what they were. And we'll see this. Now, I'll prove it to you by turning to Jeremiah chapter 50. Go to Jeremiah chapter 50. And we haven't dealt with this, but we want to talk a little bit more about Babylon and the things of it. And you're going to see that this is the Babylon he's talking about here in Habakkuk chapter 2. In Jeremiah chapter number 50 and chapter 51, we're not going to read all this. We're going to read a bit of it and some of it, but we're going to look at it and comment on some things that you're going to find about Babylon. Now, when we're looking at Babylon here in the Scriptures, we're looking at it as it was in the days of Jeremiah, as it was in the days of Habakkuk, as it was in the days of the Israelites, and especially in the days of Daniel. Remember, the book of Daniel has to deal. We went through some of that last week. It deals with Nebuchadnezzar. He's the king, and he's dealing with the Israelites. And Nebuchadnezzar's the one that God picked up the Chaldeans to come in and take over. And you remember I mentioned this last week, that he even took the vessels that were dedicated and consecrated to the Lord's house. He even took those vessels out and put them in the house of his gods. And so that was the sin that Nebuchadnezzar had to pay for. And you remember how that God did that, took his kingdom away from him, brought in Belshazzar. Here we find how that the handwriting was on the wall. He took those same instruments and brought them in, got drunk, and drinking. And listen, that seems to be the sin of the day. Drunkenness is something that's gone on from the book of Genesis. And for some reason, people love alcoholic beverage to the place that they just, I don't know, they get hung on it and tied to it, and it's ruined and destroyed and torn apart lives and homes and nations and cities. And it's going to continue to do so. I was driving through town, not through town, but driving up here one day this week, and of course, I don't even like to listen to the radio. You can't hear nothing on the radio. And sometimes you hear something pretty good, but I'll tell you what you have to do. You have to filter it out, and all the time. So I just got to where I listened to preachers and preaching. But somehow I turned it off at one particular place off of my preaching to listen to the news. And when I was listening to news, got through the news, and it stayed there. And to hear this talking about places to eat. And they got talking about the tavern in town. One of the best places to eat in town. And I said, that's a tavern. I heard it on the radio. Well, then I come back through town, and or come back going back home, and they're talking about jobs. New jobs. And they talked about that they're looking for a bartender down at the steak place in Canelia. And I thought, now listen, this is just too tough for my little spiritual ears. I don't like people talking about bartenders and taverns. Not on my public radio. Amen. You understand? I don't like it. Well, that's where we live in. We've got to build everything around liquor and alcohol, beer. And people can't seem to enjoy life without it. Well, that's where we've come to. Luke chapter 50, Jeremiah. The word that the Lord spake against Babylon. I know, and let me say this, I'm sure somebody said, well, that's just your way. Ooh, that's just the way of life. Preacher, get over it. Amen. I'm not much of a preacher if I don't preach against it. I'll tell you that now. And you're not much of a saint if you're not going to preach against it. How about that one? The word that the Lord spake against, what's that word? Babylon. And against the land of the Chaldeans by Jeremiah the prophet. Now, see, if you did not know, in the book of Habakkuk, it didn't say nothing about the Babylonians in chapter 1. But it did say something about the Chaldeans. And we know that this is the land, these are the people, these are one and the same, the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, against Babylon, against the land of the Chaldeans, these are the Chaldeans in Babylon. Now, Verse 2, he said, declare ye among the nations and publish and set up a standard. Now, that's what we need to do. That's what we as God's people need to publish and set up a standard. Amen. It's not that we have to make rules and regulations. We've already got them in the Word of God. And set up a standard. He said, publish and conceal not. Say, Babylon is taken. Now, that's the captivity is over. Babylon's going to be destroyed. Baal is confounded. Now, who's Baal? Baal is one of the gods in Babylon. And Merodach is broken in pieces. These are the idols. Her idols are confounded. Her images are broken in pieces. Now, our country is a country, and I'm talking about America. America, everybody said, America is a God-fearing nation. Well, I might have agreed with you about 150 years ago. And I partially agreed with you 50 years ago. But I disagree with you now. America is not a God-fearing nation. Now, we've got some people in America that are God-fearing. Thank God for that. We've got a remnant. And if it were not for the remnant, America would be gone. And when the remnant dies out or gets smaller, God will remove America. He'll remove the landmark of America. I believe that with all my heart. Somebody said, are you trying to preach and say the doom of America? I'm not saying that America will fall, but America's taken herself down. She's no more looked at as a great nation. We're ridiculed and laughed at. Who would ever believe that the Russian dictator or the president, whatever you want to call him, would make fun of America and America's God? They at one time knew we were a God-fearing people, and they denied that there was a God, but now they're laughing at us and making fun of us. Why, you reckon? Because we've become an idolatrous land. We worship everything but God. And even Christians, God is not number one in their life in the majority of the time. And so I know those are harsh words. They're strong words, but they're true words. That's exactly where we are. But he said, Merodach is broken in pieces. Her idols are confounded. Her images are broken in pieces. For out of the north, now that's what's going to happen. He's given us a prophecy here. For out of the north there cometh up a nation against her, which shall make her land desolate. Now Babylon is not desolate yet. Think about that. God said that Babylon's going to get to the place one of these days that she would not ever be raised up again. Now, does anybody know where Babylon is today? Iraq. That's where Babylon is. The old Babylon is Iraq, and it's still around. It's had its battles, and it's going to continue to have its battles, but one day it will be destroyed. Hear me? We fought wars, and others have fought wars, and the bad thing about it is America don't even know how to fight wars no more. And back years ago, they knew how to fight them. They'd go fight them, win them, and come out of there. Now we just fight and fight and fight and give lives. That's all we do. With no reason for what we do. And so here happens, he says that it's going to have, it's going to be make our land desolate, and none shall dwell therein. They shall remove, they shall depart, both man and beast. Now you say Babylon as far as Iraq, you call it Iraq. Well, I know we do, but it's still the old Babylon. It's still going to rise. We know that from the book of Revelation. We know that Babylon, the harlot, you remember we read that last week. She's going to rise. She's going to rise again strongly. And we know that during that tribulation hour, some things are going to happen. Well, the devil himself, and he likes that. He'll be through Babylon and through this spiritual Babylon and religious system and religious world. And it's the religions the world's given us trouble today, the religious system. Amen. The world don't care how religious you get. They just don't want you to get righteous and godly. Amen. They don't care. They don't care how many Bibles you tote under your arm, just as long as you don't start obeying them. They don't care how much that you name the name of God, just as long as you don't start preaching what the Bible says and trying to dictate that to the people's lives. But that's what Christianity is. It's about a person. It's about Christ. Amen. And how can you preach it without... How can you preach Christianity without Christ? You can't. Take Christ out of Christianity, you have no Christianity. It's over. And there's no hope for mankind. No other religion on the world will do what Christianity will do. Amen. Christianity is the only one that has got a living God. Amen. So we know. Now let's go a little bit further here. I want to look at some things. Verse 4, in those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah together, going and weeping, they shall go and seek the Lord their God. Now, Israel is going to do that one more time. She's not doing it now, but she will. Matter of fact, this is what's so amazing. Israel is blinded. She cannot even see how the things are, and she don't even know how she's playing into the prophetic pictures of God. Neither does Iran and Iraq and those Muslim nations or Islamic nations around the world. They do not see how they're playing into the hand of the prophecy of the Word of God. And, you know, here's what's got me. If we got people in high powers, and we have, that are sitting making laws and resolutions and trying to lay out the groundwork and the framework for America, if we've got some there that knew God and believed God and took God as the only God and the Bible as their textbook, they would have sense enough to know that we're falling into the pattern of the last days just like the other nations are. I don't understand how anybody sits in the White House or the Congress or the representatives, the leaders of our land, why they cannot see the handwriting on the wall as plain as it is from Genesis. Well, I believe some of them do read it, but they don't know what it says and don't pay no attention because they're not saved. They're not Christians. And they're not inspired by the Scriptures. And so the Word of God has... And they're blind. And we're falling into that. Amen. And so it bothers me. But it said that but one of these days they will cry out to God looking for Him. Verse 5, they shall ask the way to Zion. Now, let me mention this. In the Word of God, in the New Testament, it don't use the word Zion. Have you ever looked at that? It says in Sion, S-I-O-N. Now, I want to mention this. I usually do it when I'm in the New Testament coming back. But the word Zion stands for Jerusalem. That's the place of God. That's where it's at. And Zion is in the Old Testament, Z-I-O-N. In the New Testament, it's S-I-O-N, and that's the difference between the Hebrew and the Greek. And that's why you have it that way, just in case you ever wondered. He said, they shall ask the way to Zion with their faces thitherward, saying, come and let us join ourselves to the Lord in a, what kind of covenant? Perpetual covenant. What's a perpetual covenant? A continual covenant that will never end. That's what that is. Now, they're looking for that. Why are they looking for that? Because that's what God has promised them. What did God promise the Jew? That look to Abraham, all you see, that land, that is you and your seeds, how long? Forever. You see, they will have that. He said, that's going to be yours. You're going to have that. They have not got that. Now, for the promises of Genesis has not come true yet to that, in that effect. Many of the promises of Genesis have been fulfilled, of course, but this particular one is not. As far as that's concerned, it is in the eyes of God. God already said it's yours anyhow. But He has got to prepare them to fit the bill and get to the place where they can operate on it. Why are they scattered and not having it yet? From Genesis until now, they have rejected Christ. They have rejected the Messiah. That's why they were scattered in the Old Testament. We know that as well as anybody else. But we know that they're scattered. Then when When it come in the days of Christ, instead of receiving Him as King, they said, away with Him, away with Him, crucify Him, crucify Him. Let His blood be on us and our children. And that's exactly what's happened today. They're scattered for the four winds of the earth, simply because they have rejected Christ. But they're still looking for that perpetual covenant, because that covenant has been promised to them. He said, that shall not be forgotten. See, it's they've got it in their mind. God's not going to forget it either. But now, verse 6, He said, My people, and He's talking about the Israelites, My people hath been what? Lost sheep. Lost sheep. And so He's talking about, their shepherds have caused them to what? Go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have for what? Forgotten their resting place. When you forget God, first of all, you forsake Him. And when you forsake God, the next thing you do is you forget God. If you ever walk away from the Lord, and you ever start laying out of the house of God, and you ever quit praying, and ever quit studying your Bible, you are forgetting God. That's what you're doing. And the next thing you know is you'll start forsaking Him. And you'll get the place that you don't want nothing to do with Him. It's easier not to do anything than it is to be involved. Amen. That goes for any person, Christian or non-Christian too, as far as that's concerned. When we have sin in our life, we do not like to retain God in our knowledge. Romans chapter 1 says that's the problem we have in America and around the world. That they do not like to retain God in their knowledge. They don't like to keep thinking about Him. So what's happened, He says that. Look at verse 9. He said, For lo, I will raise and cause to come upon against Babylon an assembly of great nations from the north country. This is going to happen one of these days. And they shall set themselves in array against her. From thence she shall be taken. Their arrow shall be as of a mighty expert man. None shall return in vain. You turn to the book of Revelation. We was there last week. We won't turn today. But when you get in the book of Revelation, you find that's exactly what's going to happen at the wind-up before the Lord comes and puts His feet on the Mount of Olives. Amen. And we talk about the second coming. Usually that's what the Bible mainly is talking of, is when He puts His feet on the Mount of Olives. Go down to verse 17 of chapter 50 of the book of Jeremiah. He said, Israel is a what? Scattered sheep. See? And it said, The lions have driven him away. First, the king of Assyria hath devoured him. And last, this Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, hath broken his bones. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will punish the king of Babylon and in his land, as I have punished the king of Assyria. God put down the kings. Now, He's using this in typology and pointing to the future time when God will deal with a Jew again after the church is taken out and raptured. Now, slide down to verse 22. He said, A sound of battle is in the land and a great destruction. Now, Jeremiah the weeping prophet is foretelling this. He's got in his mind telling what's going to happen to Babylon. Babylon has come in. The first woe was that they had took things that did not belong to them. They were not satisfied with it, but they just kept taking and kept taking and claiming that was not theirs, claimed it as theirs. And God said, Woe to that land. And that's what this nation's done. That's what this nation's doing. That's what the countries are doing. Have you ever noticed the setup of what's happened? It's not just America, it's the world. The world now is looking like everything belongs to everybody. You know why that's happening? Why in America is the system changing? You said it's because of the president. I believe it's because we're in the last days and we've got this around. And the president we have is just in the hand of all the things to get it done. He just happens to be the one that God has picked to do it. Amen. Knowed he would do it. Now you'd say, huh? Yeah, he's a forerunner of all this. And see, what's happened? Everything's a handout. I even noticed on the news, it's talking about this morning about, and you watch it, we're getting the government in everything, and it comes in so easy that you don't even see it. Now, you may not agree with me, and you may disagree with me, and you got that right to do it if you want to, but just stand back and watch it. This business now, you notice what's happening with the health care system? Well, there's something else playing, and it's been playing all along that nobody's even paid any attention to. And now you've got, they talked about your doctors, and your doctors, now you're going to have problems with your doctors and your medicines and so forth. And now they've got these prime cares and those where you just go to the doctor and pay $40 and all this stuff. And what they're trying to get you to do is one of these days you're going to be where you won't have a family doctor. You'll just see whoever's there, whoever takes care of you. It's falling into this one system of medicine. And everything's headed to one world system. Amen. People won't agree with me on that, I don't guess, but I think about that. And we're playing into it. Why? You ain't got no choice, you know. Here it is. And there's but before you. But everything you see is right there. I mean, you don't have to go to them, I don't guess. You can just die. But that's what you want to do. But, hey, you go. That's what they're having. And it's just a one. Everybody wants everything. And when half the country is on welfare and food stamps and so forth, and I'm not against any of that, those programs, people need it, need it. Amen. Give it to them. I'm all for it. Amen. But we've got a lot that don't need it. And amen. I believe we ought to change the system. It's wrong. And it's going to continue on. So what's happening? When you get to the place that you're dependent, when you're dependent on the government's got you. Amen. And I'm not trying to rise up a crowd here this morning. Somebody hear this, they'll say he's against the government. I'm against the government taking care of everybody's business. I believe that's not the way this country was founded. It's not the way it was established. And we came here in America to get away from that kind of same stuff. So I'm against all that. But at the same time, I see it. It's playing into the one world system. And so it's going to be working on your one world health care system. That's what's happening. We'll end up being that way before it's over down the years. Amen. It may not. You know what? It may not be years. Amen. I'm amazed at how things change so fast. And then there'll be a one world religious system, one world money. It's all at the door. Almost here. Amen. Well, you don't even have to care. You can go through a whole week without having any money in your pocket anymore. Amen. You used to have a nickel, dollar, and something or other in your pocket. You called a vagrant. But now you can go with plastic. Amen. You don't have to have no money. Amen. Don't even have to write checks no more. Unless you just particularly want to. Understand what I'm saying? Well, that's where we're living today. And it's a one world system headed this way. And we're looking at it. We're right at today. All right. Verse number 25. Time's caught me in here. The Lord hath opened his armory and hath brought forth the weapons of his indignation. For this is the work of the Lord, God of hosts, in the land of the Chaldeans. Come against her from the utmost border. Open her storehouses. Cast her up as heaps and destroy her utterly. Let nothing of her be left. And you're going to find that happens. It's going to take place. Read the rest of this chapter 50 and chapter 51. And you're going to find it's taking place. And then go back and read in the book of Revelation, 16th, 17th, 18th chapter. You're going to find that God's going to put this system down. And it all plays with Habakkuk chapter 2. Those woes, God put those woes on him. Gives you why he's put them on him. Now, Jeremiah said they're going to happen. Habakkuk tells you that the reason they're going to happen, and Revelation turns around and shows you it's going to come to pass. Amen. One of these days you read the Revelation on the other side, amen, and you're going to say, well, it happened. There's some things in the Bible that has not happened yet, but one of these days you're going to look back on it all and you're going to say, everything in that Bible come true. Amen. You can't say it today, but wait till we get to the other side. Amen. There will be. And when we read over in the last part, heaven and earth is changed. Of course, it won't even be in the 20th chapter when death and hell delivers up the dead and death and hell is cast in the lake of fire. That has not happened. But one day you'll be able to say, that has happened. And then when God makes a new heaven, a new earth, and a new Jerusalem and all that, you look back and it's all said and done. And you look over and you see the gates of the city not even shut. You look back and said, God said it was going to happen, and it did. Amen. Thank God for that. Heads bowed. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege of knowing the truth. And the truth has set us free. God, thank you this morning for being able to take a Bible and teach and preach in the country, Lord, today. And Lord, we thank you for the liberties and for the privileges and the opportunities we have of open doors, still being able to preach the gospel. Then, Lord, we think about the hardened hearts, the callous souls, the people today who, Lord, have turned away, looking in a different direction. Help us, Lord, somehow to live a life in front of them that will soften them, cause them to see Christ and desire to have the same Lord that we have. We give you the praise and glory for what you're going to accomplish. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.